Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorai. In a moment, we're going to talk about what it's like to be a long hauler with COVID-19. What if you're an athlete and you're under 40 and you get COVID-19? We're going to talk with a person who has survived that, but it took almost a year. We're talking about that first on the program. Later on, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Well, for the last year or so, we've been hearing a lot, especially on Fox News, people downplaying the severe effects of COVID-19. And let's listen to a sample of what you could have heard last year on Fox News if you watched and heard them talk about how dangerous COVID-19 was.
At worst case scenario, it could be the flu.
I feel like the more I learn about this, the less there is to worry about.
I was about to say the same thing.
All the talk about coronavirus being so much more deadly doesn't reflect reality. Without a vaccine, the flu would be far more deadly.
We're going to call out anyone and everyone who's using this virus as a political weapon against the president. The standard flu every single year kills tens of thousands of Americans.
It's actually the safest time to fly. Everyone I know that's flying right now, terminals are pretty much dead.
Some of the Fox News celebrities last year downplaying the serious nature of the coronavirus. We're going to talk right now with somebody who is in their 30s, and they are an athlete. They're also a firefighter locally, and they had COVID-19, but their experience wasn't mild. We're going to hear it. Our guest is Rush Roberts, and he is a firefighter locally, and I spoke with him earlier today about his bout with COVID-19. Rush Roberts, welcome to WMNF. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I understand that you've had a bout with COVID. When did you come down with COVID?
So I was exposed March of last year, and about 5 days after the exposure, I tested positive and had bilateral pneumonia in both my lungs.
You're 37 years old. Tell me, and you're a firefighter. Were you perfectly healthy up to then, or did you have issues like diabetes or asthma or anything else before then?
No, I was actually training for a half Ironman that I was supposed to do in April. So I was running half marathons, biking about 60 to 70 miles in one sitting, about one to twice a week. And swimming every morning.
So you were in really great shape.
Yep. No medications. Was in great shape. Never had any lung issues or really any health issues whatsoever.
What does bilateral pneumonia feel like?
So that was the hardest part, was being healthy and not ever having any lung issues. To start developing them was odd, because you just don't know the feeling. So for me, I had this weird pain in my chest. I felt like I ate ice cream too fast every time that I took a breath in. And then it turned into getting up to go to the bathroom, but being out of breath getting to the bathroom. And it just got to where anytime I stood up or moved in any way, I was trying very hard to catch my breath. And it became obvious that something was wrong.
Was the bilateral pneumonia directly related to COVID? Did your doctors say that?
Yes. Yeah. When I tested positive, because they did a send-away test. So it took like 5 days to get it back, and they called to say I was positive. Then I was like, okay, that must be what's going on with my lungs. So when I went in and they did a chest x-ray, they said, yes, you've got full right-sided pneumonia, meaning my whole right lung was drowned pretty much in pneumonia. And then it had gone into my left side, and that was the complications that they were seeing with COVID early on, was pneumonias.
So what's the treatment? What happened to you then? When you were diagnosed, what kind of treatment did you undergo?
So I almost feel bad saying this, because I'm sure other people had it worse, but the pneumonia was the easiest part. They put you on antibiotics. And I felt like the pneumonia was gone within 10 days. It left behind some bronchitis and asthma, which they told me was perfectly normal for having, pneumonia in both my lungs. And I kind of thought, and those were easily able to deal with. It's what came after that that really put me on my butt.
What came after?
So after 3 months from recovering from the pneumonia, bronchitis, and asthma, I went back to work, but I never quite felt the same. Not that I felt bad, I just didn't have, I didn't have what I used to. I couldn't get up, I couldn't really run. I just felt somewhat restricted. But I went back to work for about 2 months, and I started having weird chest pains again. Not like the pneumonia, not that ice cream feeling. This was more pain when I moved, and it wasn't all the time, so I kind of put it on the back burner until it got worse. And then it got to the point where I was moving a patient over, and it was just a sharp, sharp pain. So I had to get it checked out, and I had bilateral, meaning both lungs, infection and pleurisy. And they, you know, had stated that, you know, it's probably just because your lungs went through a lot with the pneumonia and trying to heal and all of those things. So they, again, put me on the same regimen that they did for pneumonia to help clear that up. And within 2 weeks, it was gone. I say gone. The chest pain was gone, but I also never felt the same. I wasn't breathing the same. So, again, I had started running and working out and trying to get my kind of my regular life back. Now, if you think about it, we're almost 5 months post-COVID, you know, to me, it's time to get my life back. And, you know, it's almost been a happy year. So that's what I was trying to do. And then I started breaking out in this very odd rash. It was like little hives, not big welts, but little hives. It went up my arm, onto my neck, through my back, and down my other arm. But the weirdest part was it was on the palms of my hands and the bases of my feet. I don't know about you, but I've never had a rash on the palms of my hands or feet. And it was horrible because you can't walk. It felt very odd. It was burning. So I was kind of like taking little bits of Benadryl. And I honestly, in my head, was thought that maybe because I stopped taking the medication, like I was having an allergic reaction to not being on it. But I still hadn't called yet and made any appointments or anything to look into it, just hoping it would go away. And then I tried to go for a run with my wife, and I couldn't make it 100 yards. And I said, something's very wrong. The rash took over the rest of my body directly after the run. I took Benadryl and went to sleep. When I got up in the morning, I stood up, and it was kind of like a movie. The whole room was spinning. I thought I was going to collapse. By the time I made it to the emergency room, I had was walking up to the door, and I remember a nurse running to me with a wheelchair, and the next thing I knew, I was inside. They had taken some blood and were coming to do my x-ray, and the doctors at were great, but she said my D-dimer was high, which is something in my blood that would be indicative of having a blood clot. I said, okay. They did my x-ray. They were echoing my legs to see if they could find a clot, and they came back and they said, yeah, you've got several clots, both in your upper and lower, and both lungs have more clots than we can count. I kind of thought they were being overdramatic until I saw the x-ray myself, and it was just mind-numbing. So they put me on blood thinners immediately. For about 3 days, I was just in bed. I couldn't get up. I couldn't walk. I couldn't go to the bathroom. I had no air. And then each week, I slowly got better on the blood thinners. About 2 months after being on the blood thinners, I went to a hematologist who couldn't believe that I wasn't on oxygen and that I had walked into his office. And he said if I didn't have the lungs that I had from training for all that stuff, that I would for sure be dead. And he thinks it's great. And as soon as I could start exercising, he thinks that I should start doing that. So I started with walking, picked up to running, and finally made it to my 3-month appointment. They did another scan and said I was blood clot free. So, and somehow I developed all these blood clots and then beat them in 3 months, which they were very impressed with. And I did another 3 months of the blood thinners. And as of the beginning of this month, March 2021, I am off of blood thinners and back to work and feeling just like my old self.
Our guest is Rush Roberts. He's a long hauler when it comes to COVID-19. He's had quite an experience, including blood clots, skin rashes, pleurisy, and bilateral pneumonia. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Did the doctors tie the blood clots and the skin rashes and the pleurisy to COVID? Do they say it's directly related?
Absolutely. There's different theories out there, and I heard them all. My blood type, the fact that I was an athlete, they had done multiple studies where athletes who got COVID and tried to go back to their normal routine were getting even more sick and dealing with blood clots. There's all these theories, but unfortunately, you'd always get to a point with the doctors where they would tell you, we just don't know yet. We don't have enough data. It's still a very new virus. But yes, it is very much tied to COVID and COVID complications. In fact, that was on all of my paperwork from every doctor. If I can just add one thing, it's a little crazy because you don't hear those stories all the time. You hear my neighbor had COVID and he's doing just fine. And, you know, you hear a lot of people who've had it and bounced back and God, I'm so happy about that. But there's about 2% of the people that it takes a lot from them. I pretty much lost the year of my life just trying to get back to normal. It is real, and it can definitely affect you.
I want to ask you about that because, especially early on, people were telling us that COVID is just like the flu. It's nothing to worry about. You can survive it. And when you hear people, there's still some people today that say it's just like the flu. I'm sure you've had the flu before. How would you compare the flu to what you had?
The flu, so let's be honest, anybody who's had the flu, it's horrible. It sucks. You're down for a week sleeping. I actually didn't feel anything like the flu to me. To me, it was all my lungs. It really just completely attacked my lungs. The flu never did that to me. The flu just, you know, gave me a fever and I was in bed for days. So to me, it was nothing like the flu. Now, obviously, everybody seems to be having somewhat different symptoms or they vary between people. It was definitely not like the flu for me in any way. But I do remember when it first came out thinking the same thing. Well, it's probably going to be like a really bad flu, but it was more than that, especially for me.
Rush, you're relatively young, 37 years old. Are you still training for the Ironman? Are you going back to training?
So they deferred because obviously my Ironman race is in April of 2020 and everything shut down. So they moved it to December, which I was just sad about because I wasn't going to be able to do it. I wasn't in no shape. I couldn't, was barely breathing. And then they shut that one down. So they've actually moved it to this April 18th. And, I have been training for it. I know I'll cross the finish line. I don't know that I will, make any placements or if I can even make the time, but I am sure going to try. I will cross the finish line one way or another.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Rush, we know that some people go through COVID with flying colors. I mean, they get sick for 10 days and then they spring back. How long did your bout with COVID and all the after effects, how many months were you affected by it?
I say a full year, but the actual truth is 11 months. Mm-hmm. My exposure was March 30th and March 30th of 2020. And on March 1st, 2021, I came off the blood thinners.
Mm. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to me, it always sounds like if you're exposed to COVID and you get it, it's like playing Russian roulette. You're playing with a very dangerous virus.
Exactly. And that's what I explain to people because you hear it all the time. Like, oh, really not that big of a deal. And I say, I hope you're right, but you don't know. It could affect you way worse than it did your neighbor, your friend, your brother, your sister, or anyone else around you. To me, I wouldn't want to take that chance. And a lot of people agree. And some people are just hard-headed about it. And, you know, to each his own, that's their right. But, you know, I never in a million years would have expected that all of this would have happened to me, even while I had it. I was like, okay, I got pneumonia, and, you know, this is our part of it. I'll bounce back within a couple weeks and be fine. That's not what happened.
Yeah. Any idea where you got it from? Any idea how you got exposed to it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, this was when COVID had first come out, and I work for the fire department and got called to a lady who had was having a stroke. So we responded as we always do and got to the lady and realized she had a very high fever and was not doing well. And I asked, you know, how long have you been sick? She said about 2 weeks, and she had just flown in from New York. And then I said, were you tested for COVID-19 there? And she was, and she tested positive. She put herself on a plane and told us that she was having a stroke, so that she didn't think that we would respond to her if she told us that she had COVID-19. So she had lied to our dispatcher. We responded to treat a stroke, not an infectious disease, and didn't have the appropriate PPE on at the time. And it got me.
Wow. So what do you say to folks today? What advice do you give to folks about masks and vaccine and hand sanitizers? Having survived this and knowing how dangerous it can be for some people, what's your advice about all three of those?
So for me, what I tell everybody is I get it. I completely understand. I understand the fear about the vaccine, but look at the smallpox vaccine. That one actually made you really sick and scarred you for life, and people were lining up to take it, and now we don't have smallpox. I get the fear, but the only way to restore life back to normal for you not to have to wear that mask that you hate so much is to get the vaccine. The mask thing, I get it too. I don't like to wear a mask everywhere I go, but if that's what they're asking us to do, then that's what I do. But I also believe in living your life. You know, I believe in the depression rates and people being sad because they're not going outside. So if you need to go out to dinner with your wife, go out to dinner with your wife. Just be responsible. Don't go to a bar with 100 people where you're elbow to elbow with people you don't know and people that you don't know their practices and if they're safe. But ultimately, everybody has a choice to make. Everybody has their own story and their own reasons. I really try hard not to judge. But for me, if I had any advice, it was just be responsible. Live your life, but be responsible. And also respect others. If somebody's wearing a mask, this person's wearing a mask. Well, yeah, let them wear whatever they feel comfortable and safe in, because you don't know how it's going to affect you.
Rush, I'm sure you've seen this out on the beaches in Manatee County and Sarasota County and Pinellas County. Lots of people are crowding the beach bars these days. Howard Avenue, Ybor City, Central Avenue, you can find crowded bars all over the Bay Area. When you see folks gathering, and they're, a lot of them are your age, they're in their mid-30s, what do you think about those folks that are doing that?
And again, I try really hard not to judge anyone, but you're just making it longer. That's what I feel like. It's okay. You know, that's another 2 months. That's another 2 months of masks and hospitals being overrun and people being sick, you know. But I do get I get wanting to go out. I really do. I get wanting to go to your favorite bar and have a drink or out to eat, but like you said, the hundreds of people, the masses on the beach there, it makes my skin crawl, but obviously I'm different than everybody else. I feel like you're just putting us a little bit farther back each time.
Rush, is there anything else that you'd like to tell our audience about your bout with COVID in the long haul?
Just that it's real. We've all heard it. We've all hear the rhetoric that people are saying, and it's not real, and it was, you know, it's some political stunts, that it's just like the flu. It's this over-dramatized virus. But take it from someone like me, it's not. I would gladly have paid to not have it and have the year of my life that I lost. I will leave you with this. If it's the only thing that puts it in perspective, it's very hard to be 37 years old, unable to breathe, and sitting at a desk writing letters to your children because you don't know if you're going to make it through the recent COVID complication that you're having. It was a real surreal moment for me, and it taught me a lot now that I've made it through to, you know, never take anything for granted. But it's real. I can promise you that. That everything that comes with it. I'm thankful that people have minor symptoms and the people that beat it quickly, but it doesn't matter your age. It's not just 65 and up. It's not people that have preconditions. I've never taken medications, never even had a surgery. I'm a perfectly healthy person. And after 11 months, I'm starting to get back to normal.
Well, Rush Roberts, thanks for sharing your story with us, and good luck next month in the Ironman competition.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to need it.
That was Rush Roberts. He's a firefighter locally, and he survived a bout with COVID-19. It took 11 of the past 12 months to survive that bout. He had bilateral pneumonia at one point, and as you heard, he's an athlete, and he's 37 years old. So if you want to comment about interview there with Rush, you can call us at 813-239-9663. You can also email the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to JC in Lakeland for a call. JC, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say about that interview?
Hey, Rob, that was a really good perspective from somebody who, we think about our average selves, not an athlete, especially at his level, how it affects them. If it takes that type of a person down that hard, you know, what would it or could it do to you? And why are we gambling with that idea out here? You know, I see it. I live in Polk County, but I work all over. I'm on the road now. And I see people without masks, and you know, I've upgraded mine to the KN95. When I was flying during this, I was wearing two masks ahead of any idea about wearing two masks. I just saw it. My sister is in the healthcare business, and she was advising me internally. Hey, you know, he was ahead of everything that was coming out in the mainstream media because, you know, the government at that time was delaying that information to get to the public, which was vital. I just had the Johnson & Johnson shot about a week ago. I was on a wait list that they called and had an opening, and I immediately went and got the Johnson & Johnson one shot. I did have some effects from that. It packed a wall up, but I am 57 years old. It did have a few side effects, but I didn't get sick. I didn't get any fever, just body aches, severe body aches.
But you came through. You came through, though.
Came through, but Rob, I want to say, man, I've been practicing. I took it serious from the get-go, I had to look beyond. I listened to Dr. Fauci, and anyone else who wasn't a healthcare professional or outside of that intelligence, I really didn't trust or see why we were listening to them. I feel personally, and I'm not trying to get political, that our government at that time should have mandated on a federal, national level all these criteria, these guidelines, instead of giving it to these governors and the states. And now it's just a mess, and people have the idea in their heads that they can do whatever because it was handed down to them. And And we're in the situation we're in. And there has to be some responsibility to that. Hopefully we'll find that down the road and justifiably take action so that this doesn't happen again to our society and to the world. But I feel unnecessarily people have died from this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Last year has been a mess. All right, JC, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm glad you got your vaccine. I got my vaccine yesterday, my second one. I am not having, as far as I know, any symptoms after taking the Pfizer vaccine for the second time yesterday. I do think the interview with Rush Roberts, the takeaway I always get is that we never know who's going to come down with the worst symptoms. And we don't know who's spreading. So as Rush and I were talking about, it's like Russian roulette when you get exposed to the vaccine. Some people are going to be fine, and they'll survive that 10 days of illness. And some people are going to get deathly sick, like Rush. And I think out of respect for everybody, we should do whatever we can not to spread the virus, and that includes wearing a mask. Because if you're a silent carrier of the virus and you are spreading it, wearing the mask prevents a lot of those droplets from being breathed on other people. So that just seems like the rational thing to do. It's the wearing the mask is not so much protecting yourself, it's protecting other people, and it's respect for other people. And it's not like the sheriff is arresting everybody who's at the bar without a mask. The police aren't doing that, certainly. Let's take some more phone calls. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to Randy, who's in Bradenton. Randy, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I just the reason I was calling, I just came out of a diagnostic blood testing clinic. I won't give the name of the company. I had some medical testing required, but I had put it all off for the entire year because I did not want to be exposed to COVID. So finally, I'm now vaccinated. I'm over a month beyond my second vaccination, so I felt it safe to go ahead and get my blood work done. So I'm in a medical facility, and there are people in this medical facility who have their masks down around their mouth. They have some of the poorest examples of masks. You can see big gaps. They're very ineffective. One of the woman who, the phlebotomist who took my blood samples, was wanting to explain to me about the insurance implications, and she pulls out her mask, says, "I can't talk with this mask on."
So, Randy, why don't you say the name of the place? If you really went to this place and they're doing that, why don't you call it out?
Okay, it's Quest Diagnostics.
Quest Diagnostics in Bradenton?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
And in Sarasota, actually.
In Sarasota, okay.
But the point is that, I just can't believe that how we are so inept in doing the basic little things that we should be doing to protect each other. First of all, like your last guest mentioned, I don't know why we haven't, like other countries have, invoked the Defense Production Act and made good masks available for everybody, free. They pass them out in the streets in China. We can't do that? What's wrong with this country? You know, and we're still not doing it. I understand the former administration wanted to believe that there was no such thing as COVID, but now we've had time. We should be distributing masks, and we should be telling people how to wear their mask. And I just can't. There were two people sitting in the lobby of this medical facility where people come in for testing. And they're sitting in there with their masks down around their chin where everybody walks by them within a couple feet.
Yeah, that's bizarre. That is bizarre. I mean, it's supposed to, people don't know that it's supposed to protect other people from your exhalement, from your breathing out, because you may be an unknown carrier. It's just, right. That's bizarre, Randy. But thank you for telling us the story.
So, yeah. Well,
all right.
Hope other people can learn from it. Thank you.
Well, maybe the folks there at that blood center will take note and ask people to wear the masks correctly, especially if it's an elderly population. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Bob, who's in Winter Haven. Hey, Bob, you're on MNF. What's up?
Hi. I was really glad to hear Rush's dissertation on his bout with the COVID. I'm also a COVID survivor. I had it last July, and I had systemic pneumonia with it. And now I am still battling side effects from it. So I now have congestive heart failure. And I have to take handfuls of pills every day. I get dizzy, almost fall over, have to grab things to keep from falling over. I have to sometimes go home from work and because I can't trust myself to stand up for very long. So I guess I'm a long hauler too, but I had never had any pre-existing heart condition at all. I've always been very strong and athletic. I'm a cabinet maker. I slam 3/4-inch sheets of plywood around all day, and I was swimming. I was swimming about 3/4 of a mile 3 times a week for this COVID thing. So it's people have to realize that it affects different people differently, and that it is not a hoax.
It's a game of Russian roulette. So, Bob, are you swimming or are you handling 3/4-inch plywood sheets these days?
Yes, I am.
You're
not
back to
swimming,
work?
But I am sliding 3/4-inch sheets of plywood around. I'm still working. Yesterday, in the morning, my blood pressure dropped out so bad, I had to go home and try to recover, and it stayed out for most of the day. I'm trying to get back into the doctor to see why this is going on. My heart specialist that I now have, I never had a heart specialist before in my life, but he, I called him a couple months ago with this blood pressure dropping out, and he said, well, it's normal for people with congestive heart failure to have their blood pressure drop out on them, and it's been happening so frequently, I don't think that it is normal. I know it's certainly not normal for me. I've never had anything like this in my life. And I've got my COVID negative test on August 4th of last year, and I'm still dealing with after effects. So the people think I'm crazy when I tell them I'm still having trouble with COVID, but they think, well, it's no worse than the flu. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot worse than the flu.
Yeah, you've got that personal experience. Bob, thanks a lot. Thanks, and I'm glad you're doing better. I hope you're do even better and better in the next few days.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I played at the top of the program before the interview with the firefighter who was the long hauler for COVID-19. I played at the top of the show some of the skepticism that you could hear on Fox News last year over COVID. Let's listen to something that happened this week on Fox News where one of the celebrities on Fox News, Tucker Carlson, made this statement about vaccines and showed his vaccine skepticism.
When are we finally going to repeal corona law? And what about this vaccine? Why are Americans being discouraged from asking simple, straightforward questions about it? Questions like, how effective are these drugs? Are they safe? All of this should prompt some pretty tough questions for our public health experts in this country. And one of those questions is, how effective is this coronavirus vaccine? How necessary is it to take the vaccine? Don't dismiss those questions from anti-vaxxers. Don't kick people off social media for asking them. Answer the questions, especially now.
Well, you can find really good answers at the CDC website and also at PolitiFact. They just did a terrific fact check of some of the questions about vaccines, and you can find it at politifact.com. Well, we're going to open the lines again, 813-239-9663. We've got all men on the line. It would be great to hear from some women. Let's go to Matt, who's on the road. Matt, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Matt? Hello, yes. I just want to say I've always been healthy. I'm a non-smoker, never had problems. Not exactly sure where I or who I got the COVID from, but I got over it relatively quickly. My wife and I both had it. And the actual COVID part for me was just a headache, and I say that quite literally. My head felt like it was just being crushed, going to explode. And by day four, I felt okay. By day five, you know, we celebrated. We thought we were done with it. And then I started developing lung problems about 3 or 4 weeks after that. I was healthy. I got tested negative twice. And then I went to work, and I fly airplanes for a living, unpressurized with windows open. And I flew a lot one day. And at the end of the day, my lungs were irritated. And ever since then, I had problems with my lungs, shortness of breath. I had to get the oxygen finger meter, you know, the oxygen pulse meter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I noticed my heart rate was low. My resting heart rate was down to like 38 beats a minute. And even if I was walking around the house doing something, it would go up to maybe 45 beats a minute. So eventually I had to go to the emergency room, and they took care of me, and I've been going to a cardiac specialist and a pulmonologist ever since then. And so it was in October, so it's been a little over 4 months now, and I've still got problems that my heart rate has started to return to normal, but my blood pressure is through the roof. It's like 155 over 105. So I'm taking medication to drop that down, and I'm just hoping that, sometime soon my heart rate and my blood pressure will return to normal, because I hope I don't have to take this medication for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you never had any of these symptoms before you came down with COVID in October.
Never had any of them at all. So, people need to understand this is real, and I know friends, even after I tell them my story, they think, oh, you know, it's nothing, I'm healthy. I'm like, well, you never know. So I'm worried I might catch it again. So I don't know if I should get the vaccine or not.
Yeah. So, Matt, does the FAA clear you for flights with all these health problems?
Eventually they did, yes. Once, with the medication, they cleared me to fly again. And I've been flying regularly with no problems.
Well, that's good. I hope it gets better and better for you. Are you eligible for the vaccine under any of the categories? Are you 60 and over, or are you a frontline worker?
I am eligible now. I'm 61, almost 62. But I've heard conflicting reports on whether or not I need to get it, because supposedly I've got immunity.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what your doctor says, what your doctor's advice is. Matt, thank you. I'm glad you survived, and thank you for your story.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. Fly safely. Thank you, Matt. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. Kevin writes, could you speak about the wearing of a mask after getting the vaccine, how it is still important, even though we may not need it for our own protection, writes Kevin. Yeah, and this came up on the TV program Florida This Week this past Friday night, where I asked Dr. Donna Peterson, who's the dean of the Department of Health at USF, and she said, we don't know if we're carriers. You may have the vaccine, or you may have survived COVID, but we don't know if you're still carrying. And you may have been exposed to somebody, and you may pick it up. So that's one of the chief reasons you ought to still wear a mask, because the virus is still out there. It's still running rampant. And that's what she said. So, I've had both vaccines. I'm still wearing the mask when I go into a big box store or when I go buy groceries. It's all men on the line. We've got an open line, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Andrew in Hardy County. Andrew, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for calling the women in. That's always a great thing to do, and your interview is fantastic. I just wanted to pass on one experience. I am a survivor, and my situation turned out to be a little bit different. The reason I was able to get in early in April to get tested was because I was a childhood asthmatic. I had no symptoms from adolescence going forward. Had the virus, recovered completely after like 3 or 4 weeks, was doing great until the weather started to change this year. And in the fall, as things cooled off and dried out, my respiratory problems reappeared. And I'm at this point in time, it's controllable. You know, it's not a big deal in my life, fortunately. But that was, you know, from April until the end of November was when I actually started having symptoms. So surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, this is something, if you have come through and you are feeling great and everything seems to be okay and, oh, it wasn't a big deal, it may turn out to be a big deal after all. And that was like, you know, I haven't heard about like extreme delays and symptoms like that, but mine was clearly coordinated with a change in the weather, right? We started getting cold, dry air in, and I started having the same symptoms I had in childhood.
Mm. So your asthma disappeared. You outgrew your asthma, but then now it's come roaring back with the onset of the COVID and now the pollen in the air.
Yeah, and it wasn't in the spring, right? This is like as winter came in, and that was always my most vulnerable period in childhood. The air got cold and dry, and I became reactive. And this year, I'm 71 years old, and this year, for the first time since I was like 10 or 11 years old, right, exactly the same thing happened. And I've got, you know, the therapies, thank God, are a lot better than they were in the 1950s. So I am, you know, extremely well cared for, and I'm very, very blessed in that regard. But just for people thinking, okay, you know, it's all over, it wasn't a big deal, you know, 6 months down the line, I got a big surprise.
Wow. All right. Well, Andrew, I hope everything goes well and that your recovery gets better and better.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Andrew. And you're listening to 88.5 FM. Peter writes, can you explain to me or one of your listeners why many folks wear masks outside in the open air? That would be interesting to hear, writes Pete in Seminole. I think the key distance is 6 feet. So if you're breathing in other people's air and you're closer than 6 feet, let's say that you're 2 feet away, you're sitting in a restaurant and the server comes up and you're breathing on her, and you're more than you're less than 2 feet away, I think that's why you wear the masks outside if you're at an outdoor restaurant. So I think if you're more than 6 feet away, let's say you're playing tennis or you're playing golf and you're 6 feet away from your playing partner or more, you don't have to do that. Or if you're out swimming in the middle of the Gulf, it's too cold to swim for most of us, but some are, and you're 6 feet away from the nearest swimmer, then yeah, I don't think you need to wear a mask. But if you're with people you don't know, and you get closer than 6 feet outdoors, and you're breathing their air, or they're breathing your exhalement, I think that's why you should wear a mask. So those folks that are running alone and wearing a mask, I'm not a doctor, but I don't think that's necessary. It's when you're breathing in other people's air that you want to avoid. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I actually was just texting with a buddy, and he had just got his first shot. And he said, well, my daughter, though, is ill. And he said she had the COVID. And he said, well, how is it? And he goes, well, she said it was 10 times worse than the flu. Also, he's got a buddy up north as well that had the COVID and is still battling with blood clots in his lung kind of deal. I mean, the COVID thing is like, you know, when people say it's like the flu, it may very well be kind of like the flu, except it's a little more deadlier than the flu for certain people. And if you're willing to roll the dice, I guess, you know, roll the dice. But you know, when people talk about vaccines and, you know, and God forbid it's your child or your loved one, but when you have 17 people have a blood clot situation out of 18 million, you can't even put that in any kind of a percentage. So all I can say to people is go back and look in the cemeteries around the areas and look at all the children before 1963 or so that are in the graveyards and how few that are in the graveyards after that. It's called vaccines, people. That's why they're not in the graveyards. Just a thought.
All right, Dan, thank you. Thanks for your insight. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. Suzanne writes, the reason Fox News is talking about vaccines and talking about Dr. Seuss and all kinds of other frivolous things is because their boy Trump isn't calling every day. They're not a news show. They're just pundits. Trump did call in 2 days ago, just as the news was breaking about the Atlanta mass murder of six Asian women and a couple other people in the Atlanta area. And on Fox, Trump again used this racial slur to talk about the vaccine. So Trump is not going away. This is what he said the other day, just 2 days ago on Fox, as the Atlanta shootings were occurring.
Yeah, as I call it, the China virus, COVID.
The China virus. So anyway, the Trump hasn't gone away, and he's still putting his foot in his mouth, saying it's the China virus. And that's why there's so much, that's in part why there's so much anti-Asian crime going on. Let's go to Kelly in St. Pete. Kelly, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show. I was just concerned. I kind of came into the tail end of some of those conversations with people that, you know, obviously have some serious health problems. I don't know if they're long haulers but I was curious to know, were these people taking precautions? Like, were they social distancing? Were they wearing masks? I mean, the one guy said he was traveling. I mean, I personally am 64. I have health issues. I have heart issues. Unfortunately, I am a smoker. And I was scared to death when this thing came around, thinking it was going to take me out. But I didn't go anywhere. I worked at the time. Unfortunately, I'm no longer working. But we had a huge office. It was like five of us in there. And none of us masked, but we were all careful when we had people come in and out. I was just curious. All these people that are speaking about these stories, were they 100% in compliance with caution?
You know, I don't know. The only person I asked today was my first guest, and I think you missed him. He was a firefighter, and he was sent out on a job.
Right.
And they were rescuing a woman who said she had a stroke. Well, actually, she was having complications from COVID-19, and she wasn't truthful to the dispatcher, and he wasn't wearing a mask because this was March of 2020.
Right.
And so he wasn't taking all the precautions he should either, because back then people didn't know exactly how to protect themselves. So he got COVID, but he's a long hauler. His symptoms lasted for 11 months. But I don't know the other people. I didn't ask. So that's a good question, Kelly, yeah. And maybe the next person who calls up that's had it, I'll ask.
Right, and I'm just waiting for to get the vaccine, and, you know, in Florida here, it's such a debacle. And, you know, but anyway, it is what it is. But thank you for taking my call, and you'll have a pleasant day.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. I got in one of those long lines in Tampa at the University Square Mall the first time I got the COVID shot, and it took 2.5 hours, and it was very frustrating. And I felt bad for the other people whose cars ran out of gas and whose cars overheated, who were in the same line as me. But thousands of people were at the University Square Mall. That was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, yesterday I went to the Raymond James Stadium across the way over at the Buccaneers facility and got in line at about 2:09. And about 2:40, I had gotten my vaccine. I had waited my 15 minutes and I was gone. So I think it's gotten better. If you're eligible for the vaccine, you can get in line. It's not as bad as it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, it was a massive screw up. And let's go to Tim in Dunedin. Tim, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for giving us your experience. I was going to throw in a plug for the big FEMA operation going on off 275 on Water Street. I'm not real familiar with Tampa, so
yeah, it's at the dog track. Yeah,
descriptor of there. Yeah, I've heard that one. But I finally got my first vaccine last week. I'm 64, so I was a year too young for the first one. But I spent a few weeks futilely trying to, you know, work through the state of Florida and find a vaccine. I mean, I was told to stake out CVS, you know, pharmacies and hope for an extra dose. But once I found out through friends how good the FEMA facility was, I strong-armed my doctor into giving me a letter, which I really do have medical problems. I've had pulmonary embolisms and breathing problems, too. But long story short, I got over to the FEMA site, and it's a model of efficiency. I mean, you don't drive through, but you're as soon as you get on there, you're directed to a place to park. There's lots of people to tell you exactly what to do. You go through a line. There is no waiting. It's set up to be, you know, a mass inoculation site. It's run by the Air Force, bunch of kids in camouflage from McGill, I suppose. But it's probably the most efficient thing I have seen in a lot of years. And I would suggest anyone that is underage or is having trouble with the Florida system to just get a note from their doctor, their form letters. The CDC has made it real simple, and go over to the FEMA site.
All right, and you went to the FEMA site in Tampa. You went to the dog track in Tampa.
Yes.
Okay.
You will not have to wait. It's very fast, very efficient, and you will walk away thinking, thank goodness for the federal government. Thank you very much, Rob.
Tim, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. I'm glad you got it. Ron in West Tampa writes, I had COVID in December, but I still cannot taste food after 3 months. I'm one of the lucky ones, too. I'll get the vaccine as soon as possible. Wear a mask when you have to, people. It makes a good difference, writes Ron in West Tampa. Let's go to Katira in Dunedin. Hi, Katira. You're on WMNF.
Yes, hi. I was just calling my mother. She's been in an assisted living facility, and she had received the vaccine January 16th, but she was not feeling good that morning. But she just kept getting sicker and sicker, and she had a new doctor there, and I kept calling this doctor and telling her, my mother is really sick. You need to do something. You know, do I need to send her to the hospital to find out? Oh, and then she gave her antibiotics. But what was kind of upsetting is they were still letting her eat out at the dining area. They let me visit her. It was outside, and 2 days before she tested positive for COVID, and she was really, really sick. So I got her a new doctor. She's back at the assisted living facility. But, you know, I have a lot of concerns. She's 83 years old, and, you know, I just feel like a lot of people, you know, just aren't taking it serious.
Do you think that the assisted living facility was way too lax? Is that what your bottom line is?
I do, and I've told them. And so I went to visit her again about a week ago, and I went outside. But they were telling me that I could go use the restroom in her room if I wanted to. And I said, I'm not going in there, you know. And, you know, there's a sign that says no visitors, but it seems like they're letting people in. And
this was in January that this happened?
Well, last week I went to visit, and so it just still seems like it's kind of lax. I'm wearing double masks, and it's just frustrating because I don't know how to maybe look for another place for her. She's got a new doctor that's on top of things, so that's good to know. So what was I trying to say? I forgot. Oh, my gosh, darn it. So anyway, she was really, really sick, and now she's still pretty weak and has to have physical therapy. And so, I mean, it does seem like a big deal. And that first doctor was telling me, oh, my mom had it, and she just got the blood transfusion and the and she was fine, but I think her mother is like, you know, probably my age, 60. And the doctor didn't seem to be taking it very seriously, and so I do
You may want to look for a new facility, absolutely. Katira, thanks a lot. I hope you find a better place for your mom.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to hear a whole lot about how Tallahassee is trying to take away power from local governments, and it's going to be a really good program, so stick around for the Midpoint program coming up next. If you want to comment about today's program, Radioactivity, you can call us on our comment line, 813-238-8001, and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, and we'll be talking about the crackdown on protesters that is being proposed in Tallahassee. There's a new bill. You've heard about it, and we're going to talk more about it tomorrow at 11. Thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa. Here's